Jesus, I thank you for how you encouraged us to go to your Father, our Father, in your name, to ask for the things that we need, the things that we desire, the things that we think will bring honor and glory to the Father. So, Father God, we're coming in Jesus' name, first and foremost, saying thank you. Thank you for allowing us, Lord, to be a church. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us. Thank you for blessing our vision, which comes from your word. Thank you, Lord, for your diverse kingdom working through Strong Tower Bible Church. Thank you, Lord, that we are one church in the great puzzle of churches who are part of the kingdom of God, that we do our part and we pray for others in the body, the universal body. And I thank you, Lord, that as you are a global God, a God who is over the universe and holds it all together, you are still a very personal God. And I thank you that you are with us here at Strong Tower, not only corporately, but with each person individually. So, Lord, I'm asking, we are asking, that this land purchase will go all the way through and that we can close on August 28th to your honor and to your glory, that we can free up more of your financial resources to do the things you've called us to do here and abroad. So God bless the process. Thank you for Toni and her diligence thus far. And we do not believe that you brought us this far just to bring us this far. We believe you brought us this far to take us all the way through. So bless you, God. We thank you in advance. Now, Lord, help me preach your word and help us to hear the word and help all of us apply it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you believe God heard the prayer, let's give him some praise. Come on, you believe he heard that. This is Will. Right? He heard it. I sought the Lord. Where Roscoe at? Roscoe, bring you up here and sing that again. I sought the Lord. Because y'all know if I could sing anyway. Luke chapter 17. Now, earlier, it was real hot in here. Y'all jumping around. Heat all in the place, and I'm feeling the air conditioning. Did you turn it up a little bit or turn it down? Okay, because it was hot up in here. Can I get a witness? It was sweating and everything, and my glasses fogging up. I ain't even preached one word yet. I said, took my tie off because I'm like, I'm going to sweat through my suit, my shirt, but I feel a little bit of coolness right now. But that don't mean nothing. I'm about to tear this up. All right. I got a question, Strong Tower, and that is, can you learn? Can you learn? Because in order to learn, you have to be teachable. Can you learn? In order to be teachable, you have to be humble. And when I was coming up in school, even in college, we would try to find those kinds of teachers and professors that we wanted to learn from because we liked them. We would hear about the mean teachers and the mean professors and the ones whose syllabus is bigger than the textbooks you have to use. And it's like, I'm going to stay away from that person. And I'm going to go over here to this professor that I like, I enjoy. I like learning from them. But then when you don't get the luck of the draw, you're in the classroom with the professor or teacher you don't really like. It's the subject you don't really care for. You just got to check the box in order to get all your credentials in order to graduate. And you're sitting in there saying, man, when will this thing end? But I just want to know, can you learn? Can you learn when the subject is not a subject that you care for? Can you learn when it's presented by a teacher that you don't really like? Can you learn? Because to learn, you have to be teachable. To be teachable, you have to be humble. But here's the question I'm really getting at today. Can you learn from a leper? Can you learn from a social outcast? Can you learn from somebody that society in that day has looked over and disrespected? Okay, I'm not coming through. Can you learn from an immigrant who is undocumented? Can you learn from someone on the corner begging for money? Can you learn from a child? Can can you learn? Because in order to learn, you have to be teachable. In order to be teachable, you have to be humble. Meaning that when I'm not humble and I'm prideful, I won't learn. And when I'm not teachable, I think I know everything, which means I won't learn. But Jesus had a way of using the most unlikely people to be the ones to teach the body of Christ. He would pick scrubs. He would pick people who were looked over and people who you wouldn't think could tell you anything. Like the parable of the Good Samaritan. When the priests and the Levites didn't do the right thing, Jesus said, let me highlight, let me put the spotlight on someone who did do the right thing. He's one of those despised people, the Samaritan. And so when you ask, who is my neighbor? Your neighbor is the Samaritan who showed his love because love was accompanied with action. Go and do likewise. Oh man, his audience was hot when he said that the Samaritan was the hero of the story. But that's how he was, and that's how he wants to be through us. And in this story today that we're going to go through, and I hope that I give you enough to make you want to read it during the week, is that we're going to see that Jesus is going to use a leper to teach us a lesson today so that we can be the one. I want to be the one. In other words, I want to be like this leper in this story today. I'm picking up at verse 11, chapter 17, Luke. And it said, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Stop and pause. He's on his way to Calvary. He's on his way down south to Judea, to Jerusalem, in order to suffer and die as it was predetermined before the world began. And as he's leaving from up north, from Galilee, where he was raised, he's coming down south. But to come down south, he has to go through a quote-unquote forbidden part of Israel, and that is Samaria. That's where the Samaritans lived. They were part Jewish and part everything else. They didn't believe in the whole Old Testament, only the first five books of the Bible. They were different folk, and the Jews didn't like Samaritans, and the Samaritans didn't like the Jews. Matter of fact, the Jews didn't like the Samaritans so much that in order to get from the north to the south, they would make their trip longer by going all the way around Samaria in order to get to Judea, because they didn't want Samaritan dust and dirt on their Jewish sandals. So they didn't like those people. But I love Jesus, because in John chapter 4, the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria. That's that King James for you. He had to go through Samaria because he was intentional about inclusion. He was intentional about reaching those folks that the religious folks didn't want nothing to do with. But he went there. And not only did he go there, he sat down at Jacob's well and he offered living water to a woman with a questionable background. Oh my goodness, Jesus, so intentional. And he ends up giving her living water. She turns into an evangelist, and a revival breaks out right there in Sychar in Samaria. But you know, the Samaritans, man, because in John 4, John writes, he says, you know, Jews and Samaritans don't have any dealings. They don't. But Jesus went there. And even again in the book of Luke, we see that when he's going to Jerusalem and he has to stop in a village in Samaria, the Samaritans, they say, okay, you can stay here. But oh, wait a minute, you're going all the way to Judea? No, you can't stay here now. No. If you weren't going there, we'd keep you here. But since you're going there with them folk, no, we don't want you here. And so James and John said, Master, do you want us to do what Elijah did and pray that fire come down and destroy these folk? You know, this one of the 12. This one of the ones that walked with Jesus. And that, see, that racial animosity and tension runs deep, even in the most religious people. And Jesus looked at him and said, man, what spirit is that? That's not what I've taught you. Man, we're going to the next place. You're trying to blow stuff up and all that. So there's a tension there. But watch this, y'all. He's right there in the midst of Samaria and Galilee. He's in this place where their communities overlap. Watch the master now. And it goes on in verse 12. Then as he entered a certain village, There met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. Let's unpack that real quick. I want to say this certain village is a leper colony. That's what I want to say. Because according to the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, it talks about if there was someone with leprosy in the community, an infectious disease that could spread, a deteriorating skin disease, they were to be examined by the priest. And the priest would look at the blotches on their skin to see if they were just blotches or if they were the disease leprosy. And then if they saw that it was not leprosy, they would pronounce the person as clean and they could go back into the community. But if they felt and saw that the leprosy was leprosy, the blotches was leprosy, they would pronounce over the person that they were unclean and they could not go back into the community for fear of spreading the disease. So there were colonies made for people who were infected so that they could keep the disease contained as best as possible. And so Jesus is coming and there meets him 10 men who were lepers, no doubt in a leper colony. They stood afar off because they knew the law. They could not approach them because they would be breaking the law and might get their neck broke coming over here infecting people with what you got. Well, verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I like the exclamation point there. That means they weren't talking quietly. They were raising their voice. Because if you've ever been in some trouble, if you've ever been in something you can't get out of and you need God, only God can do it. And you hear that he's coming by. Oh, Lord, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I love this here because they are praying in unison. They are praying in community. Why? They have something in common and it's called leprosy. And they're bonding over their pain and over their leprosy, over their disease. And these are men who said, oh, Jesus is coming. Master, 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 have mercy on us. In other words, heal us. It's good to see men come together. Besides something around sports. It's good to see men come together besides something around making money or hanging on a corner or whatever the case may be. But unfortunately, these men are coming together because of a disease. Now, let me throw this at you. One of these men in this group is not Jewish. At least one man in this group is a Samaritan, a half-breed. So when they couldn't get together when they were well, they were able to come together when they were sick. So they had sickness in common. And it's a shame when we call ourselves Christians and we got Christ in common and we can't come together because of Christ. But you got these men there hanging out together who are sick. And all the racial boundaries in the history between the two people fall because they got a common problem. And they're crying out saying, help us. They're suffering together. They're crying out together. And now they have hope together. Look at verse 14. So when he saw them, is anybody glad Jesus sees you? When you're hurt, when you're struggling, when you feel like don't nobody else see you, don't nobody else know what you're going through, he saw them. Everybody else would say, ooh, stay over there. But he saw them because he heard them. And he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Look at the master now. Look at the master here. He saw them. He speaks to them. Go, show yourselves to the priest. Now, that don't seem like much of an answer. But it's really an answer that's based on their faith. Because he says, go show yourselves to the priest. Because Leviticus says, if you do feel like you've overcome leprosy or whatever the issue is, go back to the priest and let the priest examine you so that the priest could now pronounce that you are clean. Before he said unclean. Now the priest can look at you and say cleanse and you come back into community. So Jesus says, go to the priest and let him speak. Now, again, he didn't say, let me do with you what I did with the guy in Luke chapter 5 that had leprosy. Guy in Luke chapter 5 came up to Jesus with leprosy and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me of my leprosy. The Bible says in Luke 5, Because Luke is a doctor. He writes this stuff down. And Jesus looks at him, and the Bible says Jesus touched the man with leprosy. Can y'all get that? He touched somebody that was unclean. But Jesus knew he wasn't going to be unclean long, because I'm about to make him clean, because yes, I am willing to heal you. And he healed the man. And the Bible says immediately he was healed of leprosy. Immediately. So God can do it immediately. But sometimes God does it through a process, because their healing would come as they went towards the priest. He gives them the word, go to the priest. And they take him at his word and they start walking. And with each step, their healing comes. It doesn't come immediately or instantaneously like it did with the guy in chapter 5. But with them, the healing is going to be a process. And the more they stepped, the better they felt. The more they walked and obeyed what he said, going in the right direction to the priest, the better they began to feel, and the more the leprosy fell off their body. So they're walking in the right direction after they heard the right word and the Lord is ministering to them. A lot of us get upset with God that he doesn't heal us or the situation immediately. I'm here to say to you, most of the time when God works in our lives, it's not immediate. It's not instantaneous. There's a process. We get weary in the process. We don't want to do what he said do in order to heal this situation. I'd rather you just zap me, Lord. But God says, no, I ain't going to zap you in this. I'm going to empower you in this to walk this thing out. Okay, y'all don't want to be real with me right now. You ever heard somebody testify and they get up and say, man, there was a day that the Lord just took the desire for smoking weed right out of my mouth. One day. Y'all look at that and say, really? One day, I'm still struggling with the herb. Huh? I'm still struggling with the cancer sticks. I'm still struggling with the bottle. And here comes Sister So-and-so. Oh, he delivered me just like that. Okay, that's real. But for most of us, our deliverance comes in a process, walking by faith, step by step, day by day. Because when you talk to alcoholics, they'll say one day at a time. When you talk to a recovering drug addict, one day at a time. That's most of our experiences. Then we're walking and we take one step forward, two steps back. We're walking and we stumble and we fall and we're discouraged. We want to give up. But I just want to encourage the person who is in a process of being delivered. I want to talk to the person who's walking with God to see that stronghold broken, to see that addiction broken. I want to talk to that person who has taken a step forward and two steps back. And you've fallen down. I just want to tell you, a just person may fall seven times. But they're going to get back up again. Keep on walking. Because truth be told, your deliverance may not come till you see Jesus. Are you all right with that? That habit, that sin, that issue, that addiction. Okay, we confess it, it's real, we're not denying it. But man, I still struggle with that thing. And he won't leave you, he won't forsake you. He will walk with you through that thing. But oh, I got to get on. I got to close here now. I got to get moving here, because it says they were cleansed. They went over to the priest and they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, verse 15, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. I want to be like this guy. I want to be like him, but there's a cost to be like him. First thing I need to tell you is be the one who's not afraid to leave the group. He left the group that they had bonded together over the sickness. He left the group. But here's the thing though, he shouldn't have been the only one to come back to the Lord, because the Lord healed all of them. And so he came back. And men who bond over all kinds of things, we need to know how to bond over Jesus. But if the men don't want to bond over Jesus with you, then that means you got to go by yourself sometime. I'm thinking of our college students. You're about to go to college, and your faith is going to be tested in a way it's never been tested before, even if you do go to a Christian university. Because there's some heathens and some crazy backsliders and some evil people at Christian universities. I used to be one. But anyway, your faith is going to get tested in a way it's never been tested before. And you're going to be tempted to stay with the crowd as opposed to walking with Jesus. You're going to start questioning whether you believe the Bible is real. You're going to start questioning whether or not Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You're going to be around people like that. But I want to encourage you, be the one who doesn't get caught up in the group, but you have enough courage to step out and come back to Jesus. Walk with Jesus. Because what is a leader? A lot of times we say a leader is someone who's walking, he's got some people behind him or her. That's a leader. Okay, that's one part of it. But a leader is somebody who will walk in the right direction even if ain't nobody following them. That's the leader right there. Because you've got conviction of conscience and you're not just going to keep following the crowd. So this man was not afraid to leave the group. And I want to thank God for many of you in here, because when you started visiting Strong Tower Bible Church, your family was talking about you. Well, you going to that church over there? You going to leave the church that we were born and raised in? You going to leave the Baptist? You going to leave the Kojic? You going to leave the PCA? You going to leave the Assemblies of God and go over there to that non-denominational church with that preacher that be talking like he an angry black man? You going over there to that church? And some of y'all stayed too long in those spaces and places where you really weren't welcomed anyway. Especially if you're a black guy going, anyway, I got to keep moving. I don't have a lot of time. But you had the courage to leave and go where the Lord was calling you to go. I ain't saying that God ain't over there. You ain't heard me say that. But sometimes our seasons end, our assignments shift, and it's time to make a move. And you can't sit there being afraid, saying, I don't know, because this is all I know. This is all we do. This is how we do church. But God is saying, I got some new wine to pull into a new wineskin. You got to go. Secondly, be the one who's not afraid to publicly worship Jesus. I want to be this guy here, because when he rose up on Jesus, the Bible says he came with a loud voice. We were loud today. I like that. Every now and then you got to get loud. Sometimes in the Bible it does say, be calm, be still before God, be quiet. Other times say, clap your hands, oh, you people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Man, you better shout sometime. This guy comes back but delivered from the leprosy. He's glorifying God. He falls down on his face at Jesus' feet. That's the ultimate definition of worship. Proskuneo, face down at the feet. And when Jesus is being worshiped, he doesn't say, no, don't worship me now. Because worship only belongs to God. No. The reason why Jesus didn't tell the man not to worship him was because Jesus knew he was God and he's worthy of worship the way his Father is worthy of worship. So my man came down and worshiped Jesus at his feet, on his face, giving him thanks. My God, saying thank you, God. Because some of us think, when we think about our symbolic leprosy, the stuff God has healed us from, delivered us from, that we did this on our own strength. And you know why we think that? Because you were praying that God would give you the job, but when you got the job, you never came back and said thank you to Jesus for giving you the job. Lord, I need a car, I need a house, I need that, I need to be healed. And when he does it, you don't tell anybody what he's done. So now we're thinking that the reason why you got that job in that house is because you so smart, you so strong, you got so much money. But no, there's more in the back. That's what my sister said. That's where it comes from him. So I'm going to give him the glory and say, Lord, you allowed me to get this degree. Lord, you allowed me to build this building. Lord, you allowed me to make this money. I'm giving you the praise, so don't nobody get it twisted. Because whatever we don't offer up in praise, we turn into pride. No, this leper was like, I know where my help came from. I'm going to praise him in public. I don't care who watching. I don't care if some of my Samaritan homeboys from the hood are watching. I don't care. I'm going to bless this man. I'm going to honor this man. I'm going to thank this man. I'm going to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Praise will change you, man. But then thirdly, Be the one who's not afraid to get well. Oh, man, where's my security team? I'm going to need help getting to my car when I preach this part. Verse 17, so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? In other words, I expect all 10 of them to come back and say, thank you. I cleansed 10 of y'all, but only one came back. Okay. Verse 18, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, this immigrant, this one who's despised and hated? In other words, the Jews should know better. The church people should know better. But this dude that y'all look over, he knew better and he did better. And he came back and said, thank you, Lord. Jesus said, this foreigner knew. But Jesus came to his own and his own didn't even want to receive him. But I thank God that he allowed us who aren't Jewish to be grafted into the family of God. And Jesus is setting them up now because when I leave and depart, I'm going to give you power to be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Stop getting on the highway, going around that community. No, get on the roads and go through that community. Sit down with people in that community. Listen to people in that community. Understand what they're going through in that community. Understand why they're upset that their vote got taken away in that community so that you can try to adjust your privilege to help them find more power. Sit down with them. Don't go around those folks. Jesus said, y'all going to be my witnesses. And it's just not about preaching the gospel to get them to heaven. No, I want you to preach the gospel to them that deals with justice in the earth. I want you to be my witnesses. And so this is a setup for the disciples who are watching. And he said to my man, he says, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Wait a minute. I thought he got well when the Lord said, go to the priest. I thought when he walked one step at a time, the leprosy left his body. It did. But when he came back to the Lord, I got to let somebody know this, he got double for his trouble. What are you talking about, Pastor? It's one thing when your body is healed. That's cool. But it's a completely different thing when your soul is healed. In the staff meeting a couple weeks, this is what Lasagna said. But what does this mean that he got well? And we talked about it in the staff meeting because what's going on here is that there's a Greek word called sozo here. And sozo speaks of the saving of the soul and not just the healing of the body. He got his body healed earlier in verse 15 or 14. But here in this verse, he gets his soul healed because he came back to the Lord. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 6, that God is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. There's some folk who just want to get from Jesus what's in his hand. But then there are other folk who say that what's cool in his hand is all right, but I want him. And when you come back for him, he says, I got double for your trouble. You got a leprosy problem and a sin problem. I dealt with the leprosy. Now let me deal with this sin. You are well. You are healed. Go in peace, my brother. Oh, I want to be like this guy. But in order to be like him, man, you got to look fear in the face and say, not today. He wasn't afraid to come back and leave the group. He wasn't afraid to publicly worship Jesus. He wasn't afraid to get well. Because some of us don't want to get well. Pastor, everybody want to get well. No, they don't. A lot of us nurse our sicknesses. We find our identity in our ailments. We like folk to feel sorry for us and come by the house and see. You ever see them people? I'm talking about people, forgive me. But they are sitting in the chairs, the wheelchairs at the grocery store and don't really need them. Because I see y'all walking around doing all right. And then you sit down in the chair because there's something about riding in one of them that make people feel sorry for you, that make people get out the way for you. But you can walk, but you don't want to walk. Okay, you ain't feeling me.
John chapter 5, Jesus pulls up at the pool of Bethsaida in Siloam, and everybody's sick, and there's a lame man who's been there for years, and Jesus walks up to him and says, do you want to be made well? Yes or no question. You know, you ought to say yes, yes. Homeboy starts making excuses. Well, you know, I've been here so long and nobody's here to help me. I can't get into the water. My prescription ran out. Nobody give me a drive to Kroger. I can't do this. I can't do that. Do you want to get better? Well, you don't know what my mama did to me. You don't know what the white man said to me. You don't know what happened when I was a little girl. They looked at me. Do you want to get better? Well, they hurt my feelings. Well, they cussed at me. My teacher failed me in the third grade. Do you want to get better? Be the one that wants to get better. And not the one who takes pride in your identity because you like the attention that comes from being sick. So as I conclude, I want to be the one. Imagine if Strong Tower Bible Church was full of people like this leper. Because I believe after he gave God his praise, if Jesus said, now break me off 10%, that'd have been no problem. He'd have got 20, 50%. There ain't no way you're going to worship God with your heart and that heart not be affected in your money and you give to God. And so, man, if the Lord said, I want you to go out and preach for me, this guy would go out and preach about the goodness of Jesus. In other words, man, this guy was the one. And if we had a church full of healed lepers, man, we could turn this community, this city, this country upside down. But here's the real deal. Few will rise up to be the one. Few will rise up to be the one because most of us are content to be the nine. That don't come back, that don't give Jesus praise, that don't ask him to make us well holistically. We're okay being in the group that's not doing anything. But I'm asking God that we break out of this group, that we say, Lord, I'll be the one. I'll be the one. At the end of the movie Malcolm X, Spike Lee, who had to get money from all these stars to finish the movie, there's this part at the end where they have the children standing up saying, I am Malcolm X, I am Malcolm X, I am Malcolm X. Okay, I can dig it, I get that. But I wonder if we got anybody here who will stand up and say, I'll be the one, I'll be the one, I'll be the one, I'll be the one, I'll be the one. Because when we get people like that with that kind of mentality and mindset, watch out, Strong Tower Bible Church, because the gates of hell will never be able to prevail against a body of believers who are focused like this. Amen, amen, amen. My organ came over here to try to give me some help. I don't know if I can give you anything today, but let's stand up on our feet. Man, I done sweat through my shirt, my coat. But you hit that chord right. I don't know, love. Don't do it. Let it go. All right. Well, let's get on down to our bookstore, resource center. Make sure you hug Lasagna some more and bless people before you leave. Father God, thank you for this day that you've made. Thank you for the victory that we have in Jesus. We're riding on his coattails. We got on his back. He carried us to glory. And he's carrying us now on our way to glory. He gets all of the honor. All of the glory, all of the credit, all of the praise. Thank you for Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Now in his name, I bless you to go forth to bear fruit, much fruit, fruit that will last and remain because you have chosen to abide in the vine that the vine might abide in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Be blessed, everybody. Be blessed. A good God, say, yes, he is. God is a good God. Oh,